grant them the wisdom to love. And we pray, Lord, that you protect their family as well. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let us remain standing as we come into scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 10. It reads, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Church, please be seated and let us invite Pastor Reverend YC for today's message.
Thank you. Good afternoon, church. Indeed, this is a very exciting Sunday. There's so many things going on. We have our Happy Youth Day to all our youth today. Let's not so young also can, okay? We will have a program for them after that. And today also we are going to witness a few of our brothers and sisters going to be baptized. And we have six of our sisters, young, beautiful sisters, who's going to affirm their faith in Christ. And then we also have our long-awaited member to be transferred. So we thank God for all that is happening. And we want to see that really God is faithful. I believe all of you are familiar with this picture. This is Taipei 101. Now imagine Taipei 101 tower soaring skyward. It's all lies not in its height. It's about 1,700 feet, but also in its foundation. Many people only notice the height, but nobody know about the foundation. They actually piled 380 piles, driven 262 feet below ground. 262 feet below ground. You know how? If you go to a mall, you take the lift, go down to your car park, B1, B2, B3, B4, B6. 262 feet, literally almost equal to B25. Not D24, B25. Basement, that is how deep. And of the last 100 feet was actually deep into the bedrock that's beneath the earth. Now, because of that, the feature, combined with the solidarity of the foundation, make Taipei 101 one of the most stable buildings ever constructed. Okay? And hidden from sight, it clings to an unshakable rock, which is the foundation that it has. Now, this echoes with what Jesus spoken of in Matthew 7, talking about the parable of the wise builder. The wise man built his house upon the rock, which can endure storms, but the foolish one built their house on sand, so collapsing in ruin later on. So similarly, Paul, as in what we have read in the in the Colossians, it says that, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith." Now, in an age of ideological storm, digital chaos, and shifting sense of truth, humanity drifts without direction. Where is our anchor? How do we build an enduring legacy amidst the turmoil of the world? How do we fortify faith? How do we restore families and renew the gospel and the mission work of the church? So, to look at that, okay, this is how it is, okay? This is the opposite of the Taipei 101. So, it was just ruined because the foundation was very weak. It was built on the sand. So, Paul, in the book of, in the epistles of Colossians, gave us some very good anchor for us to help us to navigate through as Christian, as believer. How do we continue to grow and to mature and to bear fruit and to be a good testimony for the Lord? So the first thing he talked about is to be rooted, the foundation of the rooted life, which is the foundation of our faith. So when you talk about rootedness, basically in the Bible, there's two picture or two figurative kind of representation of the church or life as individual, as a believer of Christ. One is the yew tree, a living tree. So in order for the tree to grow and to bear fruit, this tree must have very deep roots. Roots that's able to extract and absorb all the nutrients that the soil can provide so that it can grow healthily and to bear fruits. The other picture that the Bible talks about is about building house. Our life is like a house. How do you build your house? How do you build your life? How do you build, for example, your health? Okay, for those young ones who go to gym, you want to build muscles, you want to build your size. How do you build? You don't just go around, every station is free, just go and do, right? You have your own plan. So you plan ahead in that. So the foundation is very important. Like the Taipei 101, the foundation is very critical so that they can sustain and able to uphold the 101-story of building. Right, 1,700 feet above ground. That's marvelous. So look at it, foundation, whether it's root system or whether it's a foundation for building, is very critical for us. Now, beside the foundation, we know that we need to link to Christ. Christ as a foundation stone, the rock or the cornerstone. But beside that, knowing that Christ is at the foundation of our faith, we need to be constantly connected with Christ. So in John 15, talking about Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches. So we are the branches. No branches apart from the vine, abiding in the vine, will survive. It will not. It will just wither away and we're not able to bear fruits because there's no nourishment. So when our life is linked to the life-giving source of Jesus Christ, then you realize that we can continue to sustain and grow and we can bear fruit and live healthily in Him. So connect with Christ is very important. Besides knowing the foundation that we can tap onto, and we have to connect with Christ. Besides connecting to Christ, church is often being described as a body of Christ, a body with many members. So we as individual members will want to connect with the other member. Why is this so? Just like our body, the finger, if you cut off your finger, you put it on the table, even you put it in the freezer, it won't last. It will die. No members of the body can survive by itself without attached to the body or some life-sustaining system. It will not. So in other words, even we as a believer, even though you think you are very strong, you are the arm of the church, if you are detached from the body of Christ, you will not last long. You will die, you will wither, you will not bear fruits. Now, in California, redwood, very popular, okay, or the sequoia type. You've been to California, you have chance to visit some of these national parks, and whether the Yosemite and other parts. You realize that this redwood, they grow 100 meters in height. 100 meters, that's 300 over feet tall. Pinnacle Duxton, if you live at the highest floor, one day you open the door, you only see the treetop only. You only see this tree. So high, 100 meters. That's how tall this tree be. But the marvelous thing about this tree is that the root system is not very deep. They're not like other trees that they go very deep, most maybe 2 meters deep. But why is it that when it's such a tall tree, it's very easy for them to sway and being like, in California, there's a lot of these typhoons and all this stuff. So when strong wind comes, being so high up, you're the first one to collapse. But why is it that they were not? So they study and they realize that this is because of the root system. This is how the roots of the redwood looks like. They don't go very deep, but they are all buddies. They shake hands underneath. Their root system shake hands underneath. They connect to one another. So you may think that I'm a young Christian. No, I'm not so deep. You need one another. Even you are a mature Christian, you need one another. As I say, a member detached from the body cannot survive by yourself. You will die. You will wither. You will not bear fruit. So moreover, if you think that you are the young one, you are not so stable, please come to church. Please join the cell group. Okay? Please read your Bible. Please reach out to the other trees. Shake hands with them. Okay, make friends with them. And together as a jungle, as a group of this tree, they can withstand the onslaught of storm and wind. And this is how it is. So the connect with members and connect with the body of Christ is of utter importance. Yeah, we know personally we connect with Christ, the foundation of our faith, the root. He is the one who gives us the nourishment. But at the same time, we need one another to make us strong. A lone tree can be easily struck down, but a group of trees connected together in the interwoven roots. They will support one another and they're able to go through a very challenging time. So you, all of us, we're not supposed to walk alone. There's no lone ranger, you know, in the realm of faith, in the realm of church. Everyone needs someone. So why don't you turn to the person next to you? Just say thank you to this person. Thank you. Really thank you for being here for you, for being here in the church, for being a testimony, for upholding you. Right? Thank you for each of the member. Okay? So after we settled the root, Paul said that build up. So how do we build? And this building is not just for a temporal purpose. It's for eternal. For example, you want to build yourself, right? So what do you feed yourself with? Because what you eat, you become what you eat, we say, right? So, for example, maybe there are some parents here, you know, who have babies that you see before, probably your nieces, your nephew. You know, when they were very young, they're 6 months, 7 months, or a year old. Oh, the parent, you ever see parents like this? When the baby able to take solid food, wow, the daddy jump and so happy. Oh, my baby can take solid food. Straight away, bring the baby to Kentucky Chicken, eat French fries, you know. You know. Then even when they are even younger, 3 years, 4 years old, you don't just feed them with French fries and hamburgers and gassy drink. You don't. You drink yourself, the parent, but you don't allow your children to eat because you realize that if I feed them with rubbish food, their health will suffer. So what do you feed your soul with? What food do you feed your soul with? Do you feed it with love, with truth? Do you feed it with the faith of God? Do you feed it with the compassion of God? Do you feed it with the grace of God? What do you feed? And that will determine. So the same thing, if you do it on the other figure about building, what do you use? What material do you use to build the house of your life? So Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, gives us a very good picture of what it is. He says that, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul makes it very clear. There's only one foundation. There's no other foundation. So you put your life foundation on your wealth, on your intellect, on your health and your family or anything else that is non-Christ, one day you realize that this thing won't last. It will just fade away. That's why Paul says that, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. It's not that you are one there who laid. We are just built upon the foundation that Christ has laid. He come and died for us. His grace is sufficient for us. His love brought him to the cross and he died for us, that through his death we can be alive in him. Though sinful we are, now we can be made righteous before God. So Paul says that he, by the grace of God, you have to build wisely. Just like in anything, you know that you have, there's a purpose. If life is so critical and important to you, you want to build wisely. Just like you want to score well in the exam, how do you study? Simply study. Any page you flip to, you just read. You feel like today, just flip, okay, page 30, read page 30. Tomorrow, flip, page 12, read page 12. You don't score well in that sense. You're not preparing your exam. You have a plan. When to do revision, then you put aside time to do that. Why? Because it's important. Because you are wise. You know what you want. So if study is so important to you, what about your life? What about your eternal destiny? Isn't it more important there to put more thought in it? Have to be even wiser than just score A's? So you have to do that. Then, what do you build with? So you must build with care. How to build? What do you use to build? And this is when he says in verse 12, if anyone build on this foundation, gold, silver, costly stone, or precious stone, or gems, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Chinese are saying, 患难见真情. No, you're fancy, very good, very buddy. When you really come into a problem, you see who is the one that's really still stay with you. Who really stay with you, that is your friend. Who is the one that will tell you the truth, even to suffer your anger. In spite of that, he will still tell you at your face that no, please don't make such a decision. It's not right. I pray that we have friends like this. True friends. So friendship will be tested. Relationship will be tested. Your faith will be tested. Your life work will be tested. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Right? So Paul have given the example of two types of building material. One is called gold, silver, and costly stone, precious stone, or gems, different translation. So I just kind of parallel it with what is the quality that work with. Okay, gold, I'll parallel it with faith. Because the Bible says that the way that our faith is being tested is like a gold being purified. So your faith will be tested when you become Christ. For our young sisters who are going to be affirmed, confirmation, I'm happy. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested when you feel when you face disappointment. Your faith will be tested when you don't understand. Your faith will be tested when your experience, the reality of your experience, doesn't kind of equal to what the Bible says. You will be tested. Then a lot of things that you expect to be so, like that, but it don't turn out as you expect it to be, then your faith will be tested. Right? So, your faith will be tested. But, for example, let's look at some of them. Let's go back first. That is faith. The second one is love. Silver. Why use silver? Because as far as Judas is concerned, the love for Jesus is only worth 30 pieces of silver. So how many pieces of silver does Jesus worth to you that you're willing to give up based on that price? You have probably read somewhere, internet or whatever, they say that everyone has a price. Does God have a price in your heart? But what is that price? Is it 30 pieces of silver? Or what? Small. Love for Christ. The third one is costly stone or gem. We call it truth. You parallel with the parable or the story that Jesus tell. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a man looking for fine pearl, a man looking for precious stone or treasure. When he found it, he sold all that he has and he bought the land. And he dig out and he get the precious stone that he want. What is a precious stone? If you read Proverbs, you know that, keep on echoing. He said, my son, listen to what I say, attentive to the word of God. Why? Because it is more precious. It is more important that you have wisdom than you have riches. Seek wisdom, not riches. Where does wisdom come from? The wisdom is something of truth. Christ come to tell us the truth. Now, you look at these three things, truth, love, and faith. What does it, if you put all this into one thing, what do you call that? It is called the gospel. I explain to you why it's called the gospel. Jesus came. It's true that Jesus come. On Christmas Day, we celebrate Jesus' birth. On Good Friday, we mourn for his death. On Easter Sunday, we rejoice at his resurrection. That is truth. Christ came to redeem us. He died for us and he lived for us forever so that we can live through him and in him. So that is the truth. So when Jesus came, he declared to the people, he went from villages to villages, from town to town, and he shared the good news. He shared the good news, the truth. The truth is that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is that all of us need salvation. The truth is that all of us are bankrupt. All of us are sinners. All of us here. You can point out my weakness, I can point out weakness. You can point out my negative thing, I can point out negative thing. You can point out my sinful stuff, I can point out sinful stuff. We are all imperfect. So there's no way. So truth itself is without love, it can be a very cruel thing. You know some Christian who will take the Bible and hammer your head? You always pick on you, always pick on you and tell you the truth. No, the Bible says like that. The Bible says, why can't you don't live out like that? It's very cruel sometimes. But if you know that if God just come to tell you that you're all sinner, you're doomed. It's terrible. But you know that the good news is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God, Jesus came, not just tells us the truth that we need salvation, but he provides the way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you're not just sinners. Yes, you're sinners. But there's hope for you. You're bankrupt. There's hope for you. You think that you are helpless, you are desperate, you are despair,
there's hope for you. And then with the love, how does he show his love? While we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. Therefore, the love of God was in full display to all humankind. The truth and love display what is required of us to receive that. For whoever that believe will not perish, but have eternal life. And that is faith. So your faith embraces the truth and the love of God. Then how you grow? You grow in faith. The faith consists of the love, consists of the truth of God. And that's why we come before God in faith, trusting His power to save, trusting that we're eternally secure in Him. And that faith will keep us strong. The other group of building material is called wood, hay, and straw. These are all the temporal things. These are all the counterfeit things. These are the things that won't last. These are the things that are highly flammable. But the one there on your right is highly non-flammable. So what do you use to build your life? For those that are highly flammable, when the test come, when the wind blow and the water flood, you realize that you just like the house before, you will collapse. But if your foundation is strong, you can go up 101 story and it will not be shaken even at a typhoon, during a typhoon time. What do you build your house with? It's very important because ultimately it will be tested. For each one should build with care, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. All our life's work will be tested. You realize in life there's many tests, right? You work, your work will be tested. You go to school, you will be tested, of course. Go through life, you will be tested also. Your faith will be tested. Your love will be tested. Whether you hold on to the truth will be tested. Your courage will be tested. Your sincerity will be tested. Your integrity will be tested. Your patience will be tested. It will be all tested. But can it last? The question is not that it won't come. Tests will definitely come. But will you last? The fire will burn. But will you be the non-flammable type of material that you will remain after the fire? So, in Taiwan in the 90s, this is a scandal in the construction industry called Haisau, Sea Sand Building or Sea Sand House. What they do is that because the construction, the company, they want to save money, they use sea sand instead of the river sand. You know what's the difference, right? One is fresh water, one is salt water. And the sea sand is so much cheaper than the river sand. He sa, hai sa, okay? So why is it they want to use sea sand? Because it's cheap. So, and if they mix it with the cement and they make the concrete, and what happened? When the house is built, you can't tell. But over time, you can tell. Because there will be this thing happening, corrosion. Because of the salt content in the sea sand, it will corrode the steel that is used to enforce the concrete. So when this thing gets rusty, and then you find that all the cracking, and then your wall begin to crack, and then part of your concrete or your ceiling will drop, you know, things will happen. So this is what it is. Okay, this is in Chinese, but anyway, you know what it means. You may mix in your own faith, certain things that, ah, doesn't matter. You can't tell, right? People cannot tell. Just like a haisau. How do you tell a haisau and a hesau? You can't tell. But when the test come, when typhoon blow, when there's a flood, the hesau is the first one to collapse. That's why the picture there, you see that at the end. So it was actually a scandal because of all this problem. So when the government, the Taiwan government went to check, they realized, oh my God, there are 34,000 houses built with hesau, which is near the northern part of Thailand, in Taiwan. You know, Jilong, Taipei Si, Beishang, Xinbei, all this area at the time. So the construction company tried to earn more money by mixing sea sand into the concrete. And the end result is after 10, 20 years later, this is what happened. And people died because the building collapsed during the disaster. So what do you mix into your life? Sometimes we think, oh, it doesn't matter. People cannot tell from externally, we cannot tell the difference. But time will tell. When the test comes, it will show itself. So Paul says that, so by the grace of God has given me, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Build with care. What do you feed your soul? Feed with care. How do you exercise it? Exercise with care. And you, in order to be a wise builder, right? How do you get wisdom from? We think wisdom and understanding all comes from a lot of reading, a lot of knowledges. But people with great knowledge, not necessarily a wise person, right? You know, probably you have friends like this, you know people like this. So the true fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, this is something that very contradict to the modern world. If I ask you, what does it mean by wise person, a smart person? Okay, in the Chinese, 聪明, understanding. 什么是聪明人? You say, oh, 聪明人 may be somebody there who read a lot, who read widely, you know, who read widely, who have a lot of knowledge. But the Bible did not say so. The Bible said that the person who is wise is a person who fears the Lord. So now you have these two definitions. One is the knowledge of the Holy One, gives you understanding, make you 聪明. Another one, the world tells you, you need all this knowledge, then you consider a 聪明. If not, you're not classified as a 聪明人. So which one do you prescribe to? You want to be worldly smart, or you want to God smart, godly smart? You see that your faith will be tested. What you believe will be tested, even outside in the marketplace. You will be tested. Of course, we need all the knowledge to do our work. But in your life, what is of importance? Where is the source of your understanding, the source of your wisdom? So, if we have do well, if we have done well in terms of our foundation, we build up with the right material to feed our soul, and we continue to grow, and you will see the evidence of the life testimony, just like the Taipei 101. When the engineer, when all the workers did their job right, build a foundation, build properly, and you see that after almost 20 years, it's still standing. The building is still standing. In fact, it's being touted as one of the most safe building. Okay, very solid built building. So, one of the things that you realize that if a person who has really grown in that, there's one evidence. This person have an unshaken faith. Unshaken faith doesn't mean that you will not fall. Unshaken faith, you are always up there. It doesn't mean that. But there are a few like this. For example, Daniel. Daniel and his friend. Daniel was thrown into the lion dungeon. Then the friends are being thrown into the fiery furnace. What did they do wrong? They just refused to bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar sets up. In other words, I refuse to bow down to the idol and to the God of this world. I refuse to. At what cost? At what cost? At the cost of my own life. At the cost of my future. At the cost of my career, maybe. I know one sister. The boss asked her, hey, you make some changes in terms of the ledger so that it looks good financially in the ledger. A lot of companies do that, I know. And this sister refused to do that. She said, this is not right. This is not according to the accounting standard. This is cheating. 报假账. And the boss said, no, you have to do that. The sister said, no, I'm not going to do that. Then the sister got fired. Fired. Literally left the job. Then she started looking for a job. Then you think, wow, will you do that? If the boss asked you to do something like this, will you do that? At what price will you pay for your conviction, for what you believe? Faith being tested. And for the story, the sister, thank God, after a short time, he being employed by another company, a better job, and a better environment for her. We do not know, but you have to go through the test. Does he know that he got a better job after he stand firm for the Lord? She doesn't know. But she's willing to do it and be true to God at that moment. The next one we talk about, the story of Job. The story of Job and the story of Job. We know that Job don't understand. Why this happened to me? Why suffering come to me? All of us ask, why my family member fall sick? Why only my family kena this kind of sickness? Why not other family? Why all the good children born in the neighborhood, not in my family? 为什么他们的孩子这么乖，我们的孩子不乖？ Why? Some may be our own problem, some may be other issues that we cannot explain. So there's things in life that we don't quite understand, we cannot explain fully, or we can't even convince ourselves fully because we don't have the full picture. Just like Job, Job don't understand. But did he leave God? Did he throw away his God? His wife told him, hey, come on. Hey, hubby, come on. You see what God did to you? You've been so good, you've been so righteous, you do all the right thing, you fear God. You see? What's the end result? Your children die. Your sheep and cattle all die. Everything die. Except you and me still around. Why don't you curse God and die? And what did Job's answer to his wife? You foolish woman. You foolish woman. He said, doesn't God have the right to bless and even to bring curse in her life? He understands that God is in control. I don't understand. He just confessed that I don't understand what God is doing. But if you do not understand fully what God is doing, does it mean that you have to ditch your faith? There are things that I don't understand the Bible even until today. I probably won't understand a lot of other things as well. I can tell you, before I enter into the seminary, I have a lot of questions. After I left the seminary, I have even more questions. But does it mean that I lose my faith? No, it does not. Because you get to see that our God, He is forever the same. I may have limit in my understanding. I do not have the plan. I cannot see tomorrow. He can. He's from eternity to eternity. I'm locked in this space and time. So I cannot have the full picture. So I'm not the one who has the final say. He has the final say. Will you humble yourself to accept that? Another one, Joseph. You look at Joseph's life. Joseph say, wow, no, protest. What's wrong being smart? What's wrong being the doted boy by your parent? What's wrong if my father give me a beautiful shirt, a beautiful jacket? What's wrong if I tell my brother my dream? Why must they persecute me? Daddy, anything wrong? Why? I don't understand. Then, as a result, I'm being sold to another country. Being a slave, being a servant in a house, and then the worst thing is that my boss wife, 出卖我, then me, not of my own guilt, I'm innocent, I plead innocent, but they just throw me in jail. Have you been treated like that before in life, in your workplace? Not fair. No, where's the justice? Where? Joseph have all the reason to cry out to God, say, not fair. Why is it so? He don't understand and he didn't know the full plan. But during the day, when the famine lasted for 7 years, when all the brothers came and buy food from him, then he understand. Now I know. God has sent me before you so that I can prepare all this food so that many will survive. Do you know that? Does Joseph know that? Joseph doesn't know that. When he was in prison because of Potiphar's wife, he was very angry probably. He probably will say, hey, God, why like that? Why should I continue to believe such a God? The God, you don't even stand on my side. Why should I be put in jail for somebody's lie? Do you face that kind of unfairness in life where you cannot explain? They cannot even swallow it sometimes? Do you, because of that, you say that my God is not true? My God is not real? I don't want to come to church. What's the point of reading the Bible? What's the point of praying? I will give up. Did Joseph give up? Joseph did not give up. Your faith will be tested, but unshaken. Even that, what if you have failed? Not all of us live at the peak of our faith. Peter followed Jesus for 3.5 years. What did he do? At a very crucial time, he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times, not just 1 time. 3 times. You say 1 time, give you another chance. Again, give you another chance. Again. Same thing, deny. How shameful this person can be. His faith is ruined. No faith at all. But when after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus came to Galilee and looked for Peter. And he restored Peter. And he restored Peter. And what did Peter do? Peter no longer that scared anymore. Yet, he stood firm. In Acts chapter 5, he says, when he was sharing the gospel, the authority tried to quiet him, flog him. And he said that we must obey God rather than human being. In chapter 5. He stand firm. So some of us may think that, oh, I'm hopeless already. I'm not even one of them. Wow, I'm no Job. I'm no Joseph. I'm no Daniel. I'm no Daniel's friend. I'm more like Peter. But there's hope for you. Why? Your faith can take a back, have a setback. But the foundation is not ruined. You see that? And Christ can build on it again. And that's why when he restored Peter, Peter become the pillar of the church. He become the church leader. The Roman Catholic made him the first pope. You know that? He's the first pope. He is the first pope. A person that denied Christ 3 times. How can he be the leader of the church? But Christ make it. Why? Our faith sometimes can falter. But the foundation stays. And there's a chance to be rebuilt by Christ. For his gracious and his kind. Paul once persecuted the church. When he being converted, he suffered a lot, put in jail, flogged many times, stoned many times. What did he say in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always, I say. And rejoice. Rejoice. Count your blessing. Don't count what you have. Count what you have. Already have. Often, we just look at the things of our lack. What I do not have. Why they are like that? I don't have. Why they are that and that? You just compare with what you do not have. Why not compare what you have? Compare what you have. Count your blessing and you will be a grateful. There's a saying, a grateful heart is a happy heart. You want to be a happy person, have a happy heart. How to have a happy heart? Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what the Lord has done for you. So in summary, these 3 things. Foundation. Where is the foundation? Where are you planting your root? Where are you having your foundation of life for you to build your life? And how do you build your life? You must be wise and be careful. And then, what choices of material you use to build your house? Right? So the material choice is important. Is it gold, silver, precious stones? Or is it wood, hay, and straw? And the third one is the evidence. Strengthen faith. Though Peter fell, when he came back, he's stronger than before. He's willing to die for Christ. Before that, he will deny Christ because his fear of death. But he was being restored. He no longer feared death. He willingly died for Christ and have a thankful heart. So, just a few things. How to reflect and apply of what you have just heard this morning. Few things I want you to learn is that examine the foundation and work. I'll give you 3 points. The first one, foundation check. When your faith is questioned and suffering strikes, what is your instinctive reliance? Your wealth, your achievement, your relationship, or the cross of Christ? Second, what sin do you have in your life that need to be removed? Example, material dependence, over-dependence, addiction to entertainment. Cannot every day, don't watch Netflix. Hidden idols or unrepentant sin. Right? Check your foundation. The second is to check the material that you use for your life. I'll put it all up here. Gold, as I say, that faith tested by fire. Ask yourself, do you still trust God in the face of illness, unemployment, and other issues that you have in life? Silver, you're talking about self-sacrificing love. Do you often sacrifice time, resources for others? Costly stones, hold fast to truth. Do you dare to speak up and stand for what you believe? And food, wood, hay, and straw, superficial piety. Do you serve only for the affirmation and applause of others? Check what material you use to build your life. And the third one I want you to practice is the gratitude practice. So you can create a gratitude notebook. Write down 3 things of gratitude every day, no matter how big or how small. Don't just complain, oh, so hot, Singapore so hot, Thank God for sunshine. That's why the Ang Mo come here, they like it so much. Because not many months they have sunshine. But we don't look at sunshine. We feel the sunshine. Hot, hot, hot. A glass of water. Many places don't have clean water. We have, even you go to public toilet, the water from the tap is potable. Thank God. A glass of water. A word of encouragement. A smile. A help from friends. A lot of things. And practicing God's grace in the ordinary. Don't look for extraordinary. Look into your ordinary and you will find God there. God often hide himself in the mundane things. I repeat, God often hide himself in the mundane thing of life. Only the wise can see it. So may you be wise and you can see God in your life. So at the end, I just want to use this verse to bless all of you. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you, who called us, is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Let's prepare our heart as today we're going to go into